Hello, hello, and welcome to the Borealis Experience. I'm your host, Aurora, life coach and companion on this beautiful journey called life. I hope you're doing well. I hope you feel safe. I hope you feel confident in your skin. I hope that, you know that spring is right around the corner, unless you live in Europe. Spring has sprung there quite some time ago, but here in Canada, it's been wonderful with lots of snow, lots of moisture, snow walks, snowshoe hikes, and now slowly but surely, Mother Nature is awakening with full power. The trees are just excited to bud, and there's so many flowers that, you know, are slowly poking their heads through the soil. It's so amazing to see. I'm very excited to be spending some time with you here today. It's been a while since I recorded a solo episode. And yeah, so today it's just you and I and our ego. I'm going to talk about the ego. I know that I have recorded a couple episodes about the ego in the past. I think it was season 2 or 3 or something. But I'm very happy to bust out a new episode about the ego. It's very important to me that you discern, that you know who's at play when it comes to your thoughts, especially when it comes to decision-making. Especially when it comes to relating to other people. I want you to live the most juiciest, happiest life that can be. I want you to live up to your full potential. And being self-aware is one of the biggest, most important, biggest, most important tools that you will learn when it comes to coaching. That's what I've learned along my journey and helped me to liberate myself. And I want to share that passionately with everybody who's listening. And as you know, as a Borealis Experience veteran, this podcast is kind of a build-up. So you start with season 1 and then go into season 2, 3, 4, 5. And the episodes are timeless. So even in 20 years, when you go back, you will listen to that stuff and it will still be valuable. Not like other podcasts where it's timely sensitive. So I invite you to browse around a little bit and find episodes that suit you and your needs. And if ever there's a topic that you want me to talk about, shoot me a message on Instagram or Facebook. And I would happily produce an episode that suits your exact needs, because chances are there's another person out there who will benefit from your topic. And of course, it's anonymous. Another thing that I want to mention before I get started is come visit me at the yurt in Beaver Mines, Alberta, in the forest, where you can recharge your batteries. Spend some time with me. We can go for a snowshoe. We can go for a hike. We can just sit in the yurt and have a tea. You can engage on a coaching journey with me where we discover, you know, obstacles, roadblocks that might be in your way that you want to become aware of and then gracefully push aside. Or come on out for an intimacy retreat. And that is for singles and for couples to become more intimate with yourself and your partner, because that's all we want from relationships. Isn't that right? Like, we want to be close. We want to feel understood. We want to go on adventures. We want to express ourselves. We want to set our boundaries in graceful ways. And those intimacy retreats, are just so revealing and heart-opening and beautiful to experience that, I'm very, very excited for future dates coming up for people to sign up, because it's been great fun so far. And I'm excited to keep offering those retreats to you. And yeah, if you want to get together with your family or friends and want me to organize a retreat, then I'm always happy to do that for you to have a relaxing, joyous experience in the forest. All right, let's dive into today's topic. Your ego. Your ego, I would describe as that little voice in your head that takes everything personal, that attaches, maybe even clings to situation and outcomes to an nth degree, that has harsh judgments about yourself, other people, and the world in general. Your ego was first formed when you went through pain, disappointment, heartache at a very young age. And it's different for everybody, right? But we all have an ego. And a little disclaimer here, what I need to add is that we don't want to get rid of ego. Ego is wonderful. Ego helps us get shit done and protects us, warns us. The problem with your ego is with a very, you know, overly identified sense of self, is that if it rules your life, it might not be a happy and content life that you live. It might be a life that is within your comfort zone, trying to avoid triggers at all cost, a life where you have your heart guarded at all times because God knows what's going to happen next, right? It's a life that keeps you trapped, has you in a cage, has you living in a cage. And once people listen for too long to their ego and really become too identified with that part of self, they can become very depressed, very lonely, very disconnected from their own heart, and they can totally feel a loss of aliveness. Some of my clients describe themselves as dead from the inside. They're functioning, they go to work, they provide for their family, they, you know, attend the odd social event and have friends, but they feel dead inside. And I don't want to say all people who feel dead inside have a problem with their ego, but a lot of people who come see me, I can tell they became so overly identified with a specific sense of self and a view on how life should be that they completely neglect their true desires, their soul, and how their soul and heart wants to express itself in this one life that we have. And so it is very important that you become aware of that part in yourself that constantly judges, constantly wants to make sense of things, wants to analyze, it wants to feel safe. Your ego absolutely hates novelty. Unless it is serving a purpose that the ego likes, unless there's some, you know, bigger drive for something new that the ego wants because it's fulfilling a bigger need, like, let's say, connection or a feeling of belonging or whatever it is, novelty is a threat. Everything that's new is a threat if it doesn't serve the ego's image on how life should be. And another thing that I experience with my clients is once people step out of their comfort zone and start engaging in activities or conversations that are outside of their comfort zone, they can have anxiety to a point that they feel a part of them is dying. And that's not comfortable. And that's very, very smart of the ego to come up with, because we then think, oh, it is dangerous to try something new. It is not safe. But it is the part in you that has controlled your life for way too long already that is telling you, this is not safe, this is not good. Imagine being in a relationship with somebody who's overly controlling. And once you tell that person that you want to start a new hobby, that you want to travel to a place you've never been to, that person will do everything to get you away from that plan. Oh, this is so dangerous where you want to go. I watched the news the other day and this is really not a safe place to travel to. Or this is a hobby that you really should not engage. What if you have an accident, then you can't go to work again? Like, imagine that person, that helicopter parent, so to say, that keeps trying to make you small and make you feel real small. And not to harm you, but to keep you safe. But there comes a point where you will not know who you are anymore, because this part of you, as I said at the beginning, was created after you experienced pain and disappointment and heartbreak. This part of you was born then to protect you from future pain. You make conclusions after being disappointed, after going through heartbreak, or even during heartbreak. You make conclusions about yourself and about other people, about the world, on how this world is not safe. And that ego then kicks in, is there for you, protects you, makes you feel safe, and is in place as long as you become aware of it and then gracefully turn the volume down on it. A lot of people out there, though, don't become aware of what's going on. Those are the people that constantly complain, they're constantly in pain, they're constantly judging and seeing evil in the outside world, and they usually find friends and family who are exactly on the same page and then bond through that negativity to each other. And that makes then a team, which then you feel less lonely with your judgment and your pain, which is wonderful. We're all herd animals and we don't like to be lonely. But you see, once you connect with a person through that judger, the analyzer, the comfort zone addict, so to say, you keep each other small. You don't allow each other to breathe, because if one of you decides to break out of that cage and say, no, actually, I like to breathe. No, actually, I like to experience new things and hike new trails. Actually, I'd like to meet new people and learn about new cultures. That is a threat to the relationship then, if the other person doesn't decide to become aware of their limiting beliefs and them living from the mind, from the ego, instead of from the heart, from the soul. And for me as a coach, there is nothing that gives me greater joy than seeing somebody taking baby steps out of their comfort zone. It is just so... it is so liberating to see somebody becoming brave again, becoming alive again, because for so long they were stuck behind this shield, this you know, protective wall, so to say, But it was starting to suffocate them. It was starting to make them feel real lonely. And they had to go through intense pain first in order to become aware of that. Because a lot of people, they need the wake-up slap. They don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, maybe I should live more from the heart and open my heart again. No, they need to fall down first, or full-on crash against the wall, to realize, oh, this is an initiation. This is a moment where I wake up and I realize, oh my fuck, what kind of autopilot was I operating on? And it goes with so much. It goes with your job. It goes with your relationships. It goes how you view the world and how you make decisions in your life. And once you wake up, once you realize, shit, I'm on a wrong path here, you can make new decisions. You start a new course. You start a new path. And life will all of a sudden look differently, and most importantly, feel differently. Yeah, you might feel nervous again because you're doing stuff that you're not used to, or you do them differently than you used to because the past, you know, didn't serve you anymore. And so that nervousness and maybe sometimes also failure on your new path can really make you feel alive again. And your ego is there and it can chatter on, right? And when there's real danger, it will protect you and you will listen to it. But you don't have to listen to your mind by default. You are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are created because of your past and because of your views on how you set your mind on certain things, but it's not you. You can change it and you can open up to new possibilities and new ways of living, and you can then feel more alive because you're liberated from that own little prison that you created. So when it comes to meditation, and I teach my clients about meditation here, and we meet in the forest, in the yurt, and it's a very beautiful environment to start practicing meditation, because it is oh so valuable in this chaotic and busy world that we live in. I connect my clients first to their sense of self, sense of identity, and to their ego. I have them become familiar with the ego, because the first thing they're going to meet once they sit in stillness is, guess what? Their ego and the constant chatter, the constant blah, 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 the thoughts, just like the Niagara Falls. And to learn that you will never stop your thoughts, you will never have your ego completely shut down and dissolved. And also you don't want that, because it protects you. And you want protection in the future, but not at all cost, not in every situation that there is out there. You want to live a life in authentic expression of yourself. And when you meditate, you're going to meet your ego. And to become familiar with it is the most important thing. Because most people give up meditation after only a few sessions because it's just too uncomfortable. Because they think, oh my God, I'm such a fucked up, weird person. Because they think they are their ego, they are their thoughts. But to talk about it first and to say, hey, this little guy up there is going to start chattering. It's going to come up with wonderful, exquisite excuses on why to not meditate right now, and why it'd be way more useful to go on a hike or scratch your forehead or drive somewhere, because it has wonderful ways to distract. And once you know that it's coming, once you know that there is going to be a chatterbox that is going to desperately try to distract you, you can relax and you can observe and you can detach. And that's a wonderful, liberating thing to do to start with. So I think I'm going to leave you with that. In my next episode, I'm going to talk a little bit more about your ego and meditation, because I'm passionate to get more and more people to meditate. And yeah, you know that meditation has nothing to do with religion whatsoever. It's about mindfulness, allowing space and quietness, calming your nervous system down, and allowing your thoughts to float by, to not hook into your thoughts. Because we tend to do that by default. We tend to do that unaware, unconsciously. And then we make decisions from that space, and that's not good. Because, like I said earlier, you are not your thoughts. You are not your ego. And to get down to who you truly are, on a soul level, on a heart level, that's where I want to get you to, because from that space, you're going to make incredible decisions that serve you, but also our community and the world on a bigger scale. I'm going to leave you with this, with so much love, with so much respect. If you want to buy me a coffee, this podcast is advertisement free. I pour so much love and money into this podcast. And if you want to support me, if you believe in what I share here, there's a link in the show notes that says buy me a coffee. And I would feel delighted and so grateful if you would send me a little something to buffer those podcast expenses to keep high quality, no ad podcast episode experiences for you. All right, take care. Until next time, bye-bye.